Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is The Good News Show.
And good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Good News Show. My name is Cecil Anderson. You usually expect to hear Dave Palmer, our executive director, hosting this program. And normally I am on the other side of the glass running the board, adding my color commentary. But a few times a year when Dave is on a well-deserved break, I get to host this show. So that is why you're hearing my voice today. I serve as the North Texas assistant for the Guadalupe Radio Network. And Joe Loney, one of our assistant engineer, is my color commentator today. So, you know, I wonder, Joe, if I go out of town while Dave's out of town, does that mean then you host the show and Patty?
We would be far down in the darkness if I had to host the show. It would not be a fun sight.
I just do like the continual, you know, rotation. But Merry Christmas, everyone. I should have started with that. Merry Christmas. It's so exciting to be able to come on live during the Christmas season. The last time I think we had a live show was a couple weeks ago, because we didn't have one last week because I was off in preparing for Christmas. I was actually helping around this time decorate our parish for Christmas. Got to help set up the nativity scene. There's no pressure with that at all.
You're like, no pressure.
Just
no
preparing
pressure.
For Christmas masses and making it pretty and transporting a lot of poinsettias. Yes.
And I did hear, do you guys have the new nativity scene stained glass at St. Philip's, don't you?
We do. St. Philip the Apostle and Flower Mound just got our first stained glass installed up near the altar to the left side, and it's the nativity scene very appropriately right before Christmas. So that was a very beautiful backdrop. There was lots of people going up after mass to go look at it. It was quite beautiful.
It's like it was planned that way.
It was like maybe they just thought about that. St. Philip's actually has acquired enough stained glass for all of our windows in church, but it takes a lot of time because they're from an old church. Unfortunately, a church that did close down from the Northeast, I believe. But they were able to acquire these to put up in our church so that the beauty is still being used when we're worshiping. And it just takes a long time for that restoration process to happen, I've been told. So it's going to be a slow process of slowly putting them in, but how beautiful to have that right in time for Christ's birth. We're just in the last 2 days of... well, barely 2 days at this point. Yeah. We're like a day and a half of 2024, and what a year it has been, not only for the Guadalupe Radio Network, but I'm sure for a lot of people. We acquired more stations this year in Fort Worth, so it's been really awesome to have KCPP 1140 AM and, of course, 101.5 FM in Cleburne to kind of join so that we can better cover the DFW Metroplex, and that has continued to grow our relationship with the Fort Worth Diocese, and, of course, we have the Dallas Diocese that we also have a great relationship with. And you know what's so funny is that the last time day I was in the office before my break started was the day that some really big news came out. And it was about our own Bishop Kelly here in Dallas, the auxiliary bishop for the diocese, has been assigned to be the Bishop of Tyler, which is...
And
so,
we also have another station in Tyler.
Conveniently, 1430 a.m. in Tyler. And that was such good news because we do love Bishop Kelly. We love all of our bishops here. And now that we're going to still be able to see him and still have that relationship with him is really awesome. We wish him the best of luck. I think he's only here for a couple more weeks before he goes. And I know Dave is hoping to be able to grab him for an interview before he leaves, but of course we'll still continue to hear from him. And actually, I do believe the show airs in Tyler.
Does.
So
the,
all of our friends listening in the Diocese of Tyler, you are about to get a wonderful bishop. So we're so grateful for him and all that he has done for the Dallas Diocese. And we will miss you, but it's good to know that you're only a two-hour drive away. So we will see
half
you for
the Metroplex is okay.
Honestly, it's basically about that much to get to the other end of the Fort Worth Diocese. So that's been some really exciting news. But other things to talk about, something that happens around this time of the year. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Joe. We get a little bit busy as we get into January and February. There's just something going on at the GRN.
I think we do something kind of the start of the year. I can't remember, but I think it has something to do with a car.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the car raffle. Of course, it's the car raffle. It's a very exciting time of the year for a couple different reasons. Well, first off, the first couple of months of the year for most nonprofits can always be a little bit challenging. Everyone's just coming off of, you know, Christmas. We may maybe, you know, our budgets are a little bit tighter, and you know, so the giving, you know, is not as much to keep the ministry like ours going. And so we came up with some creative ways to help with that. And that includes our car raffle, which is going to be, it's actually already started. You can buy tickets right now. We do a soft launch, so you can get them for stocking stuffers for your family members. But we're going to be really going off of it on like starting January 2nd when everyone's back at the office right after our feast day this week. And
we are Catholic, so our Christmas season is not over. Exactly. You can still get a stocking
stuffer. Exactly. If you haven't done your family Christmas yet, or you just want to give someone like a Christmas gift, amazing.
Hey, I just accidentally forgot your gift.
You can go online right now to grnonline.com/raffle.
You can also text raffle to 345-345 and you'll get the link as well.
Joe is very excited about that because he's the one who set that up.
He wants to make sure. Please use it.
To the word raffle to 345-345 will send you the link directly to your phone, so you can just click on that and buy your tickets there. But we're raffling off a Mercedes-Benz GLB 250, a 2025 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250. And the drawing is going to be February 21st. It's going to be at our KLPF offices in Midland. And that'll happen live on the air during Morning Joy. It's going to be really exciting. It's a really nice compact SUV vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited that someone's going to win that. We're really encouraging everyone to pay it forward and buy tickets for your friends, for your family members, first responders, teachers, you know, anyone in your life who really deserves a new car or some luxury. Obviously, it is a chance to win this car, but we're guaranteeing some support of Good Catholic Radio. Last year's ticket winner was actually a pay it forward. A wife bought her husband a ticket for their anniversary, and he won. So that was really awesome. So again, you can go online, and we are also going to be out and about across both dioceses for the next 7 weeks, going to as many parishes as we can. And I can already tell you the three parishes we're going to be at this weekend. There's a chance more will be added, but for sure we know that we are going to be at St. John the Apostle in North Richland Hills, which is around where you live.
Right in my neck of the woods.
So I know where Joe's going to be going to get his tickets. Yes. For sure. He's going to be in North Richland Hills, St. John the Apostle. St. Joseph in Waxahachie will be going all the way down to Waxahachie and selling tickets at all their masses. And then St. Jude Chapel in Dallas. They are lovely. We have always done them the first weekend of our car raffle. They're so great. I ran into one of the gentlemen who works at that parish, and you know, he immediately was like, "Oh, are you all coming out on the first weekend to sell car raffle tickets?" And I was like, "Yes, we are."
And I will say the St. Joseph in Waxahachie has a great chance to receive the 11:40 a.m. signal.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
they do.
You can listen to both stations if
you could just come flip it back and forth. Yeah. I kind of do that in my car all the time when I'm driving around. I'm like, which one's better here and which one's better here? Kind of the benefits. So if you ever find yourself in a spot where it's cutting out a little bit, test the other one, which is pretty awesome. And let me just tell you before we get too much further what kind of some of our topics are going to be today, aside from, you know, just catching up on everything going on in the GRN. Second half of the show, I'm actually going to be talking to a familiar voice to Catholic Radio, Keith Downing, who is the host of Morning Joy, and he has been for almost a year. Started in January of this last year. He has been doing a morning show that starts at 6 a.m. And he also does not live in the central time zone, so it's earlier for him.
I think he said he gets up at like 3 a.m.
Yes, and it's very, very early. Thankfully, his office is not far. He does just have to stumble into another room. However, I think it's pretty awesome that he's been doing that for us, and he's been doing a great job. Yeah. So he kindly is going to come on, and we're going to talk a little bit more about his background and history if you've missed kind of like where he's coming from, and also just kind of a year in review. You've gotten through a year of hosting a 5-day-a-week live morning show and see how that's all been for him. So I am looking forward to that conversation. And then in just a couple minutes, I'm going to introduce my good friend, Ariane Putra, who is a junior going into senior year kind of in this next semester, college student at Texas A&M. And she's going to talk a little bit about, you know, how she was led to A&M and her experience there, both being a college student, but being a Catholic college student too. Obviously, we know A&M has a fantastic Catholic campus ministry at St. Mary's. But just talking about, you know, what the Catholic college student experience is just in general as well. So if you're maybe have a student who is looking at colleges, this might be an interesting conversation for you. No matter what college they're going to end up at, I think it'll be a fun conversation to kind of have, and then you can learn a little bit about what that's like. But before all that, Joe, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was a blast. I got to, my nephews, they got sick, so I wasn't able to see them, and that was the highlight of my of my, that was going to be the highlight, but it's okay.
I thought you were saying that the highlight was not seeing
it. No, it's not. My highlight is always seeing them. It's always the most fun I can have. But I spent a lot with family, with my wife and everything like that. So we were pretty happy.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, mine was also good too. It was, I got to go to Midnight Mass, which every year I'm like very excited because the Midnight Mass is the one at St. Philip's where like the choir is like, it's full out and it's amazing. The organ's playing. And we also usually have extra instruments as well. But then it's also the remembering at like 10 p.m. when you're starting to shut down a little bit, you're like, oh no, that's right, I gotta be awake.
But as soon as four more hours.
Unfortunately, as soon as like those first chords of the organ hit, you kind of wake up a little bit, you're ready at that point. So that was really beautiful. And of course, because we can't just, you know, go to Midnight Mass and then wake up at 10 a.m. We were all awake at like 7:30 in the morning because we were very excited and, you know, blasting some Christmas music and, you know, making Christmas coffee. I get at Little Angels, the Mystic Monk Jingle Bell Java blend is pretty fantastic. It makes your house smell very
lovely. And I listened to the Connie Salazar that we gave away during our Christmas share-a-thon. Yeah. I think it was an awesome job.
That was a good album if you wanted to get in the mood. So hopefully many of you listening were able to get that album because it's really awesome. That was kind of my Christmas. And then, you know, the time between Christmas and New Year's especially, I think, is very hazy because you're like, especially if you're not working, you're kind of just like, what day is it? What's happening? You're kind of in this Christmas haze.
It's like family is still here, but then they're leaving. And then it's like, well, work is coming up, but it's not here yet.
Exactly. It's a little bit confusing, but it's such an awesome thing that we have as Catholics is that Christmas is not just one day. It goes on. We have all the way up to Epiphany to be celebrating this Christmas season. And I think, again, sort of between Christmas and New Year's, it's decently easy to kind of keep that festivities going. Some places are still playing the Christmas music. Mm-hmm. They're still keeping in the spirit, even though in the corner they're putting up the, you know, Valentine's
stuff. Valentine's is already all out in
You're
the
like,
store,
okay, so. We're just going to ignore that. But I do think it gets a little bit harder as, like, the last few days of Christmas to kind
Once
of remember.
Once January hits, I think people just completely ignore
Christmas.
Yeah, start Christmas.
Checking out of it. So my kind of question in general to everyone is, like, what are you doing to keep the Christmas season and going all the way up through Epiphany? So something I'm going to be asking my guest here, Ariane, in just a moment. But do you have any ideas, Joe, what you can do to keep the Christmas season going?
I keep the decorations and the nativity scene up.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I keep it up to at least January 1st. I try to do the 2nd. And then that's when I kind of have to, you know, it's at some point, people coming into your house are like, why do you still have a Christmas tree?
That's the opportunity to evangelize, though. You got to say, like, there's a reason why I have it up until January 6th.
I tell them that, but then it's like, I can January, but if you keep it up till February, bless you, but...
Hey, there are people that do that, and I think it's great, but that's a little bit of a hard... It's a harder one to get into a little bit. You're like, actually, candle mass, let me tell you about this.
I was deployed, so I had left it up in my apartment for... till I think it was May by the time I got the chance to
come home. Okay, that's really overachieving.
And then I remembered seeing on my security camera the maintenance guy come in and be like, why does he still have his Christmas tree? And I was like, it's the Christmas spirit.
You just don't question it, guys. That's pretty fantastic. But I'll go ahead and introduce Ariane Putra, who has been a friend of mine. I was calculating, Ariane, I think it's been roughly nine years that we've known each other. We both go to St. Philip's, and we both are part of the same homeschool group, Teach, that is in the area of Catholic homeschoolers that I joined once my family had decided to convert. So I got to meet you. I think my mom actually sat next to you, behind you all at Mass for many weeks, and finally was like, I should introduce myself to this lovely family. And that's how the friendship was born.
I think so. It's been quite a while. It's been nice.
That's awesome. Well, welcome to the program, and thanks so much for coming out on your Christmas break.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
This is exciting.
Yes, definitely. Ariane got a text from me basically over the weekend being like, would you like to come on and talk about your Catholic college experience at A&M? And she was very gracious enough to do so. But let me first ask you, what are some of the things that you do to keep the Catholic, the Christmas season. Always keep the Catholic season.
Sure.
the Christmas season going all the way through Epiphany.
Yes. I think definitely keeping singing the Christmas hymns and Christmas carols. Been playing some of those on the piano. It's been really fun. Also keeping up decorations. As we mentioned earlier, we only started putting on Christmas lights on Christmas Day, so I definitely want to keep them up for as long as we can. And just having all the treats and the fun and, Yeah, the Christmas decorations definitely keeps the spirit alive.
Spirit going, yeah, for sure. Honestly, this year I felt like we're still, you know, unpacking and moving into our new house, so it was a little bit chaotic. We were just happy that we barely found the Advent wreath right before, you know, like right at the first Sunday of Advent. We're like, yes, amazing, we found it. And so unintentionally, we really were in that season of preparation because we did not get up our Christmas decorations until closer to Christmas, and the lights actually never happened, but it's okay. I mean, they still technically could, but I don't know if I'm going to put all that work in right for the last few days here. But that was one thing that was kind of a good way to not get too into the Christmas moment before it actually happens. Because I think that's what happens. We all get burned out on Christmas by like December 3rd, really, because stores have been doing it since like November 1st. So it's really easy for that to happen. But yeah, so definitely those are some great things. So hopefully everyone listening right now, you have some other celebrations that you can do to keep the Christmas season going. But let's talk a little bit about your experience at A&M. First, can you talk about maybe your homeschooling transition experience and like when you were thinking about college and what you were looking for in a college and what you wanted to do? I should mention that you're a chemical engineering student. You just kind of finished your junior year. You have two more semesters left, so January, and then you'll just graduate next December. Talk a little bit about, what led you from, you know, high school into college, where you wanted to go.
Sure. So I think that was one of the biggest decisions of my life, going to the college that was perfect for me and gave me a good learning experience, but also didn't throw me out too deep. So I had applied to, I believe, 6 schools in the area, some of them private Catholic schools, some of them just local state and public schools. But my last top two choices were between the University of Dallas, UD, and Texas A&M. And growing up in a tight-knit Catholic homeschool group, as you mentioned, all my friends and all the people I knew were basically Catholic, were very devout Catholics. So that was a blessing. But I figured it was about time that I kind of branch out and figure out how to build friendships with other people, sort of evangelize and feel out what the real world is like. So with lots of thinking and research into the two colleges and also lots of great advice from my pastor, Father McDaniel, he kind of knew what I was going through and what I needed at that stage in life. I finally decided to go to A&M, and it's been a very providential blessing because it has a very good Catholic community where I can go and find my safe refuge there, but also it's a huge public school. Get to see all sorts of people, get to build friendships with Catholics and non-Catholics alike, people, different Christian people of different beliefs, and just kind of explore that part of the world while still keeping like one foot in safe ground.
Mm, I like that. That's a really, really beautiful reason to, you know, want to go to a college like that. And obviously having the Catholic community is a huge portion of it, but branching out a little bit is equally important sometimes. I thought it was really interesting that you were able to talk to Father McDaniel a lot and get his wisdom and advice, which is something I always recommend to a lot of young adults that I speak with, you know, to meet with your priests, meet with your, you know, pastors to get some of their wisdom. Is that something that you know, already had a good established relationship with him where you felt comfortable to open up about, like, this is where I'm at? Because I feel like some people listening right now are like, I couldn't even like think about talking to my priest about what college I'm going to go to. Maybe they don't feel that. How did your parents help you foster a relationship like that?
Yes, I think it was a blessing that I had already started meeting up with him quite regularly about other things other than college, just spiritual direction in general. And he would come over to our family's house once in a while. So I knew him more than just a priest at our parish. He's more of a friend and a mentor. So yes, I think the family relationship with him definitely helped. But it was very helpful, and I would encourage young people to open up with their priest or religious or someone who is wise and knows more and can see a wider perspective than a senior in high school cool. Even though you know, you are growing up and you are able to make your own decisions in some aspects, it's definitely helpful to have people who have experienced very different paths of life and know lots of people.
And you were kind of lucky too. I mean, A&M, like you mentioned, big, big public university that, you know, I don't even know how many people there are there now. It's like 40, 50 50,000?
60,000?
70,000. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. That was a lot. yeah, it's a big, big college. And you do have some people from up here that you know that go there too? Yeah,
oh, yes. Yeah. Quite a bit.
That's really helpful yes. too.
It's always nice to find someone to ride back with.
Yes. You don't have to road trip it alone.
Yes.
That's really awesome. Real quickly, obviously, I'm sure A&M is known for being a really good engineering college as well. Mm-hmm. Very tough engineering college is what I've heard it too. Did that play a big part into your decision too about like what kind of what the class content was going to be and how rigorous the program was going to be?
Yes, that is a very good point. That was the other deciding factor for my college decision because I wanted to do engineering, which had a good mix of math and science, which I both liked. Whereas if I went to UD, I would only be a math major. I liked going to A&M for its rigorous engineering standards. I know it's a well-respected engineering school. And I would have a good chance of getting an engineering job after that because mm-hmm. of the Aggie Network as well.
The Aggie Network is very strong. We have people come on here and talk all the time who are many, many years out of college and will always talk about A&M and how that connected them. So I'm curious too, because you mentioned you applied to a lot of colleges and most of them were in Texas, or were they all in Texas?
They were all in Texas except for Benedictine College in Kansas.
Was something, were you more concerned with like being closer to home at all, or did you want to branch out a little bit? Like, did you have anything where you're like, I feel like I you know, like I really love my family, I want to be with my family, but I want to try to do something new? Because I stayed local for college. A lot of my friends went away. I stayed local. Mostly that had to do with the college I went to. But also, you know, I kind of was like, I like home. I like my parents. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything. Were you excited or nervous both about moving away?
Yes, I definitely wanted to stay at home, but that was one advantage of UD, which was why I considered that so heavily. But I figured Texas A&M is not that far away.
No, it's not.
It's still in Texas, although it is a little of a drive. But it was quite a transition to live on my own and not really know anyone there at first. But it was a good experience. Definitely helped me to rely more on God, because God's always present no matter where I go, even if I don't know the people around there necessarily.
Yeah, I think sometimes people are shocked to say, like when Catholics talk about how we order our lives and it goes God, family, you know, and we go that direction and we're like, what do you mean? It's like family above everything. And I'm like, well, yes and no. but let's see, is God, because we start with God and that'll help all of our other relationships. But also, like you're saying, there's going to be times when family's separated. There might be, you know, sadly, unfortunately, there's times where families are like, you know, going through really hard times and there's like a lot of things that go on. But you can always rely on God. The best part about it is he's the, you know, perfect in the relationship.
Yes.
So it's very steady and beautiful. So let's talk about St. Mary's itself. It's a very big, well-known Catholic campus ministry. What was it like getting connected with them? And what were some of like the first things that you did that helped get you involved in the community? Because it is large, even though it's, you know, beautiful and vibrant, but like there's also that element of it's a large group coming into, it's not as big as A&M, but trying to find like your people in that is probably a little bit intimidating.
Yes, you walk around the student center every day and you see hundreds of faces.
I've never seen you before.
But yes, you don't know who they are. So I think one of the main things that helped me transition in the first semester of college was the Connect Retreat, which St. Mary's puts on every fall at the beginning of the semester for new students, transfer students who are coming into the area. So I was arranged to be in a group with a bunch of other Aggie Catholics who lived in my dorm, Mosier Hall, and I found a lot of great friends from that group, providentially. So we've all stuck around and built a really nice friend group with some of those people I met the first few weeks. After that, Connect does try to help people find their own organizations around St. Mary's, and there are a lot of those, so you can definitely find your group, and you can always join another group at any time. But I think a lot of having the diversity of groups does help, because everyone has their own talents, different things that they are drawn to. But there are just so many people around St. Mary's that you can find a group that fits your personality and your interests.
What were some of the week-to-week activities that you were the most intrigued by, the ones that you were most excited to go to? Because again, they probably have, like you mentioned, so many different groups, so many different things going on. What have been the things that you've just enjoyed the most over the last few years?
Sure. I've been involved in the St. Mary's Music. So they
beautiful.
Have
yes,
awesome. They have a choir and an orchestra, and they have very fun rehearsals every Monday night, and then we sing every other week. Then I also lead a traditional women's choir, which is a daily mass choir that sings every other week on a Friday, and we do some of the more traditional chants and polyphonies with a small group of girls and with the organ as well. And then another thing that I look forward to often is Aggie Cat, which is Catholic apologetics that they do every other Monday. We always dive into a certain topic that is picked out for us, and then be it like Mormons or creation or any other tough topics that people often ask Catholics about, then we do a deep dive and have lots of time for Q&A, just learning to fight on the battleground out there.
That's awesome. Now, you kind of, you'd mentioned earlier, you know, the desire to go to a college where you both had the home Catholic community that you could be part of, a safe space, but also would have a lot of non-Catholics so you could work on, you know, evangelization and building friendships with others, our other brothers and sisters who have not entered into the full communion with our Catholic faith. So what has that experience been like? Because again, you said there's like 70, 80,000 people at this college. Have you been able to develop any of those friendships or have any moments where you could, you know, evangelize to other students?
Yes. It's been really interesting and beautiful. I had thought that I would make more non-Catholic friends than I have, but it turns out that I do still tend to gravitate towards people who have the same beliefs that I do. But I have found a couple of friends. I made one friend in class last year and started talking about what church she goes to. Apparently she grew up with like Lutheran parents, but yeah, I have a couple of opportunities like that to invite people to come to church. Also recently, one of my friends who I met in my freshman chemistry class happened to bump into me at St. Mary's a couple of months ago, and she said it was her first time going to a church by herself.
Wow.
So that was really neat and providential that I got to see her at that moment. So grabbed lunch with her a few weeks after that, and we started talking. Seems like she has gone to Catholic school and had a little bit of Catholic background, but never really viewed church as part of her relationship with God. So she's starting to open up to that a little more, and I'm very excited for her. Gave her a little book called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist for her to look through.
That book has a funny story, I feel like. I've heard rumors about that book.
Oh yes, Cecil knows because I also borrowed that book from her recently.
my siblings and I opened up, we have a bunch of Catholic books that my mom collected, and when we finally unpacked them this last week, we were like, there's no way we can read all these books. We have to let them be a resource. So for our young adult group, we've opened up a little lending library in our home, and Ariane is our first customer of the lending library, and she saw the book that she had just lent to this friend to give, and she's like, well, this is great, I never got to read it, so now I can read it because it's being used. Obviously I would have totally done the same thing, give it to the friend.
Yes.
But I'm glad that you get to enjoy it now, and you maybe can now have a conversation with her about it because now you've read it as well.
Yeah.
So or working on reading it, I should say.
I know, working on reading it. Working, but that was very providential that you had that.
That's really funny. That's awesome. And when you mentioned the book, I had no idea we even had that book on our shelf. We have so many books, but that's awesome. So glad to hear that. But yeah, obviously, of course, you're going to spend a majority of your time with your fellow Catholics. But that just kind of shows the importance of that friend that just decided to go to church by herself. The importance of having a Catholic campus ministry that's so present is that I'm sure she has seen the witness of others around her. And it's just right there, right at the edge of campus where, you know, she's seeing people go in and out and the joy that's in there. And it's kind of draws people in because, you know, Lana, it's pretty brave, honestly, to go to mass by yourself.
It is.
When you don't have that background.
Mm-hmm. Very respectable. And it's always nice to hear people talk about St. Mary's because it's this huge church right on the edge of campus. People can see it. Even non-Catholics, faculty in the engineering building know about it. If I mention it, they're like, oh, that big basilica down the street. You hear people talking about it all over campus. So it's really neat to have that presence and that witness.
Yeah, for sure. It kind of helps you not even have to, because sometimes you're in a situation where you're kind of like, oh, by the way, I'm Catholic. Like, it wears you this when you're like, you can be wearing your Aggie Catholic shirt and you're like, yep, we're Catholic.
Yes.
We're out here. It's very easy to kind of start that conversation. We just have a few minutes remaining here for this first segment of the Good News Show. I'm Cecil Anderson filling in for Dave Palmer today, and I'm talking to my good friend Ariane Brahmaniputra, who is a incoming senior for A&M, chemical engineering student. And she's talking about her experience at Texas A&M and all that she has been able to do with St. Mary's, and also kind of some of the evangelization outside of St. Mary's as well. In these last few minutes, Ariane, first off, if there's anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about, I would, you know, feel free to throw it in now. But I kind of thought it'd be good to maybe leave some words of wisdom to any junior, senior who is considering their colleges, to the parents, kind of about how one should go about discerning college. Like, what were some of the things that were most helpful to you to like consider, to pray about, like any prayers, any saints, whatever it is that might have helped you, that might help anyone listening right now when making this really important college decision, like you mentioned at the beginning. Any words of wisdom?
Sure. So it is definitely a big decision. So it's important to keep in mind that it's not just for what you want in a college, but what is good for you in a college, because it's definitely a very formative few years when you start to live on your own and kind of gauge what the world is like and build a bunch of friends around you, make new friend groups, and start to spread your wings and see what interests you in life. So seeing what is beneficial for your own life personally is a very big factor. Of course, having that strong, a place that can foster a strong relationship with God is very important. Yeah, and having the ears to be open to whoever God places in your life to help you grow in that wisdom, giving you advice. Ultimately, it is just you trying to follow wherever God is leading you to. So He may place people in your lives that may help or may not help, but you are given those ingredients to use.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And just final question, just two more semesters left at A&M. What are any mm-hmm. things that you're really looking forward to in your last like year at A&M? And not the crying when you leave part.
Yeah, not really looking forward to that.
Not that part. That'll be a beautiful cry, but but yes. Not that. Like, is there any special senior traditions that the campus ministry does?
I know that they have like a graduation mass at the end of the semesters where all the graduates can come and celebrate and see each other in their caps and gowns. So that would be exciting. I also know a bunch of my friends are receiving their Aggie rings this semester, so I'm looking forward to that and celebrating with them. It's always a fun tradition. And just seeing all the people step up into new roles and new organizations at St. Mary's, younger people or people my age, it's always neat to see how they can grow and then figure out, oh, they have leadership capabilities and they're now leading a bunch of other people, or finding new organizations that they do really well and they never thought of joining before. One of my friends just became a leader for a home group, which is like a little small group where you have people you're accountable with and meet up with a Bible study format, but they never guessed that he would be a home group leader until he stepped up to fill the plate, and it's perfect for that group.
What is the quote? It's like, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies, or something like that. He prepares the people who, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean he says, okay, this person, they're already ready to go, let's just drop them in right now. It's more like, I will make you ready for this. That was a very ugly way of saying a pretty quote.
He doesn't call the perfect, he perfects.
That's much better. I should allow Ariane to say that. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Ariane, for this segment today. I think hopefully it was beneficial to people listening, and I know I enjoyed it. And really, best of luck and praying for you for your last two semesters, and also really praying that you get a nice good job here in DFW so you can come back and see us. So if anyone's, you know, in the next year going to be hiring a chemical engineer, like,
let her know.
You can always contact me. I will get her information so that you can hire her, because she's a fantastic young woman and I'm blessed to have her as a friend. So again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Cecil. This is wonderful.
Of course. And we're going to go ahead and go to a short break here on the Good News Show. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to the one and only Keith Downey from Morning Joy, all about that show that has been going on the Guadalupe Radio Network since this past January. We are a year in, and I'm excited to hear his thoughts on the year. We'll be back right after this break.
Hi, this is Dave Palmer here at the GRN. Do you have time to be a volunteer for your local Catholic radio station? We are currently looking for a number of people who can volunteer to help us spread the word about the GRN here in North Texas. If you're interested in hearing more about this volunteer opportunity, please contact me as soon as possible via email at kath@grnonline.com. That's kath@grnonline.com, or you can call me 972-757-2990. I look forward to hearing from you.
Are you in need of commercial or residential asphalt and paving projects such as driveway resurfacing and paving, recycled asphalt paving, chip seal and seal coating? The GRN welcomes Elite Asphalt as a sponsor of KATH 910 AM. They support Catholic apostolates across North Texas and beyond and would like to speak with you about the various solutions they can provide for your next project. They can be reached via phone at 817-961-9882, 817-961-9882, or online at eliteasphalt.net, eliteasphalt.net.
Step away from the distractions of daily life and embark on a spiritual weekend retreat specifically designed for men who are recovered alcoholics. The men's AA retreat will take place on Friday, January 3rd to Sunday, January 5th at the Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House on Lake Dallas. Emotional sobriety will be one of the areas of emphasis, and the retreat will use art as a guide through the 12 steps. The work of several artists will illustrate the movements of freedom and serenity. For more information, visit montserratretreat.org.
Do you want a faith-filled Catholic community where your child will thrive? Discover Immaculate Conception Catholic School in Denton, where your child will receive the very best spiritual foundation, along with excellence in education. ICCS serves 250 students ages 3 through 8th grade. Whether it's living the rosary, the celebration of the Mass, or the formation of saints, scholars, musicians, and athletes, Our Lady School is the place to be. For more information, call 940-381-1155 to arrange a tour or visit catholicschooldenton.org.
Would you like to keep up to date on all the exciting news, events, and information related to KATH 910 AM and the Guadalupe Radio Network? Like our quarterly share-a-thons, opportunities to volunteer, and special events like the Car Raffle, Spirit World Live, and the Summer Speaker Series events next year? Join our email list and we can send you occasional updates so you can stay informed. To begin getting emails from us, just email kath@grnonline.com and ask to be added to the list. The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Little Elm Eye Care for their support of local Catholic radio. Little Elm Eye Care is owned by Drs. Bert and Leslie Bubella, parishioners of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. They specialize in family vision care, comprehensive eye exams, contact lenses, and the treatment of eye diseases and injuries. Little Elm Eye Care is located at 1200 East El Dorado Parkway, Suite 100, across from the Little Elm Athletic Complex. They can be reached by calling 972-292-0900 or on the web at littleelmeyecare.com.
And welcome back to the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM. And we're so grateful to have you tuning in today on this Christmastide season that we're in the midst of right now in the last day and a half of 2024. And I'm very excited to be able to have as my second guest today, Keith Downey, the host of Morning Joy, a voice that hopefully is not unfamiliar to you. If you're an early riser, you get to listen to him first thing in the morning, as he's been doing so wonderfully for the past year. And honestly, I'm very grateful that you're coming on the show because I would be asleep right now, Keith. So I think this is the first time I've ever heard your voice in the afternoon. How are you doing? Good afternoon, Keith Downey.
Thank you so much for having me on, Cecil. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Course. Merry Christmas. I'm never going to stop saying that until probably February 2nd.
So oh, perfect.
Really tired of it. It's funny. My neighbor, they have just the most intricate, like, Christmas decorations set up in their front yard and inside their house. And they invited us for playing board games one evening. And I think it was like a couple nights ago. And we go in there and they're oh, we took down all of our Christmas decorations.
No.
And I'm like, why did you do that?
No.
And my wife's like, yeah, we're going to keep ours up until, you know, the Epiphany. And they're like, what?
What's the Epiphany?
I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Here it goes. That's perfect. Cause that's kind of the question I've been asking everyone, Keith, is how are you keeping the Christmas season going this year. We were talking earlier about Joe and I that like between Christmas and New Year's, it's pretty easy. Cause you know, a lot of stores are still playing Christmas music and you know, you can still kind of have the vibes. There's still a lot of Christmas events going on through through the new year, but kind of that week after is when it really slows down and you're the weird one out there with your Christmas shirts on and stuff. But what do you like to do with your family to kind of help keep that season going?
I think being vocal. We went to another parish yesterday for Mass, and someone, you know, went past by like, "Hey, Happy New Year."
Yeah.
But they didn't say Merry Christmas.
And you're like, hang on.
wait a second. We're at Matt. We're at the parish right now. You should be telling me. I think it's just, being more vocal about like wishing people a Merry Christmas. Even though you will get confused looks, it's worth it because it can start a conversation. Like, oh, well, yeah, there's a whole octave that we celebrate for Christmas. So that way we can celebrate Christmas longer. And I think that will have a really positive effect on people, because I know there's a lot of people out there who are having that, what do you call it, post-Christmas blues, because there's really nothing. I mean, I guess even after New Year's, I think that's when it really does hit, because there's nothing until what, September? I don't know. I can't really remember what after. Oh, Valentine's Day, but nobody really cares about Valentine's Day.
I only care about the discounted chocolate. Yes. That's what I care about.
100%, like literally the day after, kind of like with Christmas, there's so many Christmas candies and they're just all on sale at the grocery store.
Oh yeah, I was there because one of the things I try to do is that our church is, you know, really good about making sure that when we're in the season of Advent, we are in the season of Advent. There are no holiday, like Christmas gatherings, that word is not used, like we are not doing that. So as our young adult group, we really made an effort to have our Christmas party in the Christmas season. So we had just had it this last Saturday at my house, and you know, did the white elephant gift exchange and all the fun things in a gingerbread house competition, which was great because I could go get the discounted candy for the gingerbread houses at half the cost, and I'm like, this is amazing. Even though I prefer that, you know, the sales maybe don't start until later when Christmas season's actually over, I do appreciate it from this perspective.
Yes.
But yeah, saying the Merry Christmas is a great one, especially start with a safe space. Do it at a Catholic church, even though some people still, even you know, in our Catholic churches might be a little confused about it because it's just so not in the culture. Right. Start there and then from branch out and be braver from there.
I would say also leave your Christmas lights up for as long as you can.
You honestly just leave them up until next year, you know.
Just turn them off. Just
turn them off for like turn them off and they're ready to go. I was joking. I did not actually get around to putting up Christmas lights outside this year. We have a new house. It's two-story, and previously I could pop up on the roof and do them myself. This is a little bit more involved, and I don't think I'm allowed to get on a ladder per my roommate. So those lights did not happen. But we had the Christmas trees up. We honestly, because of being so busy, they didn't go up until, you know, week 10 days before Christmas, which was helpful to building up to the Christmas season, I think.
Yeah, we were kind of the same. Like, we didn't put our lights up until literally 2 days before Christmas. And it wasn't on purpose, per se. It was just trying to find time to, like, dedicate to putting the lights up in the front yard. So it's nice because then we can actually, like, really have fun experiencing it for the next, you know, few weeks. And on top of that, we've been listening to Christmas music.
Oh, yeah.
Like, instead of going back to the, you know, the normal music, but nonstop Christmas music.
It's awesome. I love it. And it's the sad thing is that, like, you know, all the radio stations are not going to be playing any Christmas music anymore. But thankfully, you know, we have things like Spotify and stuff like that. So you can make your own little Christmas playlist. But Keith, apart from just talking about Christmas with you, which we could do for a long time, let's talk a little bit about A Year of Morning Joy. It's almost been a year, right? Because it was mid-January that A Morning Joy started of this year. That's pretty crazy. And what I think is even crazier is I don't think everyone knows that you live in a completely different time zone than the rest of GRN. You live in Arizona, and Arizona is like the one state that doesn't participate in daylight savings. Is that right?
There's two.
There's two. So okay.
Arizona and Hawaii.
Arizona and Hawaii. So they both don't participate, which means that your time is even crazier sometimes, the distance between like central time and you all. So I'm not going to lie, I don't even know what time it is for you right now.
So yeah, it's 11:42 a.m. So we're an hour behind right now. But once March 13th, whenever the time...
The spring forward flips, happens.
I don't know the terminology. I've never had to deal with it. But it's like then I have to wake up an hour earlier. So like we don't change our times. I have to like work around the country, basically.
So my friends and I, we did a road trip to Arizona a few years ago, and it was in the summer, and we kind of forgot about that little aspect. And that meant that, well, there was a couple of things that were mishaps on that trip. One of my friends did, in fact, forget when we booked the trip that her confirmation was the day we were getting back. And so we had to leave our day early and basically drive back in one day, which was fine, except for the fact that we lost 2 hours. So, it was really unfortunate. So it was a very, very long day. by the time we got home, no matter how early we left, it was still very, very late by the time we got home. But, so talk about, if you don't mind, I know a lot of people probably who listen to Morning Joy know more about you, but if people are still getting to know you, what happened to be that you ended up in Catholic content creation and then now into this role of a host of a network, morning drive time show?
Yeah. So, I mean, looking back, if you were to ask me a little bit more than a year ago that, hey, Keith, you're going to be a host of a weekly, daily morning radio show, a national one at that, I would have been like, what are you even talking about? I have zero experience in radio. To kind of give some background on who I am. So my name is Keith Downey. Okay.
Hello.
here we go. My whole foray, I went to school. I went to college for theater, acting. Very promising future with that, right?
Oh, of course.
I now have no loans associated with that. Ooh. I'm proud to say. Paid that off. So that was kind of my background. I would go to auditions for commercials, television and film. I had, my own agent, that send me all these auditions. And so once COVID hit, I didn't know what to do with myself in a creative manner. Like there was just nothing for me to do. And so, I looked towards Instagram, all the social medias, and that was right when Instagram's version of TikToks or YouTube shorts were starting to gain more traction. And at the time, I didn't see any Catholic male or Catholic man that was producing, Catholic content that it was light, but not watered down. Mm. And so that's when I kind of started doing that with Grassroots Catholic. 2 years later, I'm like, okay, this is great, Lord. Whatever followers, how do you want to call them? The number's great, but what does it really mean? Nothing really. It's, and so I asked the Lord, I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Cause I will just let me know, just give me something to do. I feel like I'm in a fork in the road here. What do you want me to do? And then, maybe like a month or two later, Ryan Penny, who works at EWTN, he messaged me and was saying, hey, look, the Guadalupe Radio Network they're having a brand new show, morning show. I don't have the bandwidth to do it. Would you consider looking into it? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Not really thinking what I had prayed for previously. I was just going to like, yeah, sure, I'll talk.
We frequently forget about those prayers we've thrown out.
Right? You mentioned yourself that, recommended writing down what you're praying for. Right. So that way you can look back in your journal.
You're like, oh, he did answer that.
I think we'd all realize that our Lord answers our prayers, more than we really think if we actually looked back at that. Anyways, so Debbie Giorgiani and I were talking, Toya Hall, and it just made a lot of sense. And there's so many threads to this whole thing coming together that the more we talk, the more it's like, okay, yeah, this is meant to happen. Mm. And it just, yeah, 1 year later, it'll be 1 year on Monday, January 20th.
Okay, wow. So. Wow, just about, about 21 days away, we'll have that anniversary. Are you planning anything special for that?
We are having a whole anniversary week. We're celebrating it all week long, starting Monday, January 20th, getting back some of the guests that we had at the very beginning. So very excited about that. That's going to be a really great time.
That is crazy. I'm talking to Keith Downey, the host of Morning Joy that you can hear every morning, every weekday morning, with on the Guadalupe Radio Network, beginning at 6 a.m. Central until 7:30 a.m. On the radio, and then a 30-minute after show on social media. If you're not following any of the Guadalupe Radio Network social media platforms, you should be. You should go to YouTube and to Instagram and X and Facebook and go search at GRN Online, and you you can find all of our social channels. I know there's more than that, Keith. I'm just naming the ones that I remember off the top of my head. So follow us there so you can see. We live stream the show. And then additionally, you'll get some of the interviews cut up and like, so you can kind of like search for the ones that you're looking for or re-listen to some of them. And it's really awesome. Keith and Tim do a great job keeping all of our social channels updated. So make sure you're following us there so you can learn more. But I guess, again, Keith, I want to know, like, now you're getting close to a year in, I don't want to say like how, what has it been like, but I guess I'd say like, you know, what have been some of the highlights of the year?
Yeah. So when you mentioned that a little bit earlier, I was thinking like, well, it's been a year. And you ever had one of those weekends where there was just so much going on, and then someone asks you on Monday morning, like, hey, how was your weekend? And you're like, I can't even remember much of it. It was so much going on. It's kind of how it feels like with Morning Joy. The one thing that I can say that I taken away with talking to so many great Catholics, with the interview segments, you know, we're talking ranging from theologians, artists, bishop, priests, you know, even all the way to TikTok influencers. You know, the one thing that I had picked up, the one thing that's all of these people had in common that I could trace back was the need for prayer, consistent prayer. That seems to always be what, like, the commonality between, and we've done over 200, maybe almost 300 interviews.
Wow.
Now. And it's just, no matter who the person is, having a conversation, there's always something inspiring about an individual's journey, because we're all on that pilgrimage. We're all on that path towards holiness. And so when we get someone who does homesteading, that they're Catholic homesteading, or, you know, it's a bishop or a priest who's a recruiter for the army, you know, recruiting priests who are in the army. I mean, there's so many incredible stories to be shared, and we get the blessing of having to do that every single weekday.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're right. I love that you found that unifying topic and theme of prayer, because if you look at the saints, I feel like that's the same thing. Our saints are so vast, and their backgrounds are so different, and their stories are so different. But the thing that grounds them all, that, you know, that made them a saint, is that prayer, that daily prayer, that relationship with our Lord, which I think is so cool. So, you know, how many future saints do you think you've interviewed, Keith? That's probably a lot. Hopefully a lot.
I mean, anybody who has to deal with me, I mean, instant sainted right there. Right. No, but I mean, even then, like, there's folks like you, Sissel, who contribute on a daily, well, not a daily basis, but on
thankfully,
a week basis.
No. Yeah, no. You don't need to see Sissel up before 7 a.m. that many days in a row.
Well, yeah, like, you, Sissel, Dave Palmer, Monsignor Charles Pope, Julie Carrick, Alan Smith, I mean, and then, of course, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. I mean, it wouldn't be Morning Joy without any of those individuals. I'm just kind of the bus driver.
Yeah. Well, I think being the bus driver, I think that's a fun job sometimes, you know, because you get to lay out the platform for other people to be able to speak and share their stories. And you never know what they say, what you say, and how that's going to touch people across, like, the Guadalupe Radio Network, and really, you know, endlessly because of social media and our app that can be reached to so many people. Which is one of the beautiful aspects of technology that we have today, is all the people that we're able to reach. I'm curious to know if, like, in 2025, obviously we have the anniversary week, like you're talking about. Is there anything, you know, hopes and dreams you'd love to do with the show? I know we've joked a few times that we should bring the show to Rome so that it could be Morning Joy in the afternoon, so, like, you don't have to be awake that early. But, like, what are some things that you'd like, you know, to see grow for Morning Joy in the next year, and for the Guadalupe Radio Network social channels, whatever it is?
Yeah, so one change that we've had recently, and we're going to continue in the new year, and I know there's a lot of things that are up our sleeves we haven't announced just yet, but one is having Steve Ray. So we all know Steve Ray. He's the one, he's the CatholicConvert.com. He's, you know, goes on all these incredible pilgrimages. He's been to, I think, almost every single holy site. I think there's been a few he just can't go because the safety of him, it would not be. Anyways, he has a segment now on every single Monday. So today, Sacred Sites with Steve Ray, and it gives him the ability to take us on kind of a virtual pilgrimage, because we know that there's a lot of folks out there who are homebound or maybe just can't afford going on a pilgrimage. And so what he's been doing every single Monday since, I think it's been a week or two now, I think, taking us to Bethlehem. And it's all in line kind of with the liturgical calendar. So ramping up to Christmas, taking us through Bethlehem, what it was like when, Mary and Joseph were living, and then what it's like today. So that's just one of many things, incredible things that we're doing. What I would like to see, I think it would be really fun to have Morning Joy live, like maybe at a Seek or Ooh. Another conference like that.
That would be so cool. That would be awesome. Okay, we need to take Morning Joy on the road is what I'm hearing.
That's right.
Yeah. Get a little minivan with like your face on the side of it. Morning Joy. Make it a joyful day. And probably the people who are up, have been driving for hours and were up early earlier are like, no, go.
No, stop.
I will say, Keith, we do say make it a joyful day a lot around here teasing each other quite a bit. So you've become a bit of a, you're quotable now.
I'm a meme.
You are a meme. I was trying to be nice and not say you were a meme. But personally, I think, that's a great thing. That's a good thing to be. And I remember when it was first announced that you were going to be hosting this show, Dave and I, Dave Palmer and I were like in his office Googling you looking at it. It was really fun. I think the first time we spoke to each other was probably on the air, but
so
that's great. Well, I really have appreciated all the work that you've done to kind of further the mission of Catholic Radio and just reach new, new areas, new parts of the world with social media that you've been able to help us with has been something that I think has been really beautiful from 2024 for the Guadalupe Radio Network. And one of the reasons why I thought this segment would be good is because people are thinking about their New Year's resolutions, right? Mm. And so if your New Year's resolution maybe is getting up earlier, maybe doing some exercise, whatever it may be, I think you can make Morning Joy part of that. Can't you, Keith, right?
Yeah, join us in solidarity for just waking up way too early.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people who listen to Catholic radio while they go on a walk or go, are working out. So join Keith every morning at 6 a.m. for Morning Joy. There's lots of fun things. There's also opportunities to win prizes. They have a daily mm-hmm. question you can answer at grnonline.com/joy. There's lots of cool things that you can do. And it's just a fun show. And it's a very edifying and uplifting show. So please join Keith each day and make that part of your New Year's resolution is to wake up and listen to Catholic radio.
And don't forget, tomorrow you also have Sissel on for her segment, Fruitful yes. Living. So there we go.
Yeah, only listen on those days for sure.
<That's right.
laughs> I'm joking.
That's it.
That is awesome. Well, Keith, I thank you so much for joining us for one of our local shows, and hopefully everyone who's listening got to know you a little bit more and are going to be joining you in the new year every day. We'll all do it together. We'll all get up at 6. Well, you get up a little bit earlier than 6 a.m., but get up and join you in listening to all the great things that are happening on Morning Joy in 2025.
Yes, and thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure talking to you and everybody who's listening. And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, and make it a joyful day.
I wasn't going to say it, but okay.
I need a tagline for this show, so I'm just going to steal yours, I think.
That's fine. It's not copywritten, so go for it.
Perfect. Amazing. Thank you so much, Keith Downey, for joining us. And that's about wraps it up for the Good News Show. We'll be back again next week. Dave Palmer will be back. We're going to be in full car raffle swing. And I have an update, a live update for you. Dave has updated one more parish we're going to be at this weekend, which is, I believe, and I lost it already, Holy Family of Nazareth in Irving, right here in Irving. So if you're at that parish, St. John the Apostle in North Richmond Hills, St. Jude Chapel in Dallas, or St. Joseph in Waxahachie. If you're at one of those parishes, we'll be out there selling car raffle tickets for the 2025 Mercedes-Benz, and you could be one of those lucky winners, and you're supporting the Guadalupe Radio Network the whole time. Merry Christmas, everyone. I really hope that your New Year's and the rest of the Christmas season is a beautiful one for you. Don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas to your friends, your family, everyone you see on the street, and we'll be back with you next week. God bless.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
Hi, I'm Chris Nisi, owner and operator of Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center. My wife and I are parishioners at St. Anne's Parish in Cup Hill. We are blessed to be sponsors of the GRN, the radio station that brought us into the Catholic Church. We train aircraft dispatchers to work behind the scenes, planning flights, and supporting pilots en route. If you would like to learn more, you can visit us in Farmers Branch or online at adtcdallas.com. That's Alpha Delta Tango Charlie Dallas.com.
Are you suffering with grief due to the loss of a loved one? St. Monica Catholic Church in Dallas invites all those suffering such a loss to its grief support group on Wednesdays starting February 5th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. The grief support group meetings will be held once a week for 10 weeks at the parish. If you'd like more information, please call the parish office at 214-358-1453 for more information. Their website is stmonicachurch.org. Don't lose faith. Jesus loves you.
Hello, it's Todd Sluter, licensed professional counselor with Epiphany Counseling and sponsor of GRN. I've been blessed to work with many individuals, couples, teens, and families in our diocese, incorporating counseling principles with authentic Catholic values. God wants you to have a greater sense of joy and purpose. If you or someone you know are struggling to find purpose, stuck moving forward with goals in life, or a relationship is not working, you may need to seek a counselor to help regain hope and healing. You may get in touch with me at 469-556-8336.
Guadalupe Radio Network family, join us in praying an Our Father for the intentions of the Holy Father, our bishops and clergy, and those of religious life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.